Hallelujah. We just read in the Word of God in Psalm 136 about all the mighty works of the Lord. How He created the heavens and the earth and the universe. Psalm 136:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever." Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Give thanks to God, for His mercy endureth forever. The wonderful works that He did, create the heavens and the moon and the stars, and above all, a planet called Earth, among the galaxies in the universe where the sons of God, the children of God would live, and prepared everything for us even before we were born. The doctors and the scientists who examine the human body understand how delicate it is. The human body functions within a very narrow band. There has to be a certain amount of oxygen in the air. There has to be certain constituents in the blood. There has to be a certain temperature. There has to be a certain environment. And above all, there has to be a certain emotional environment where the babies are born into the world and the parents love them. And above all, God created a soul where we can fellowship with Him and get messages from Him in the spirit. When we see the delicate way in which God has created us, we understand that even before we existed, even before we were born, millions of years before we were born, the Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, which means that the heavens and the earth were not created 6,000 years back, as some Christians would think. But maybe billions or trillions of years back. We do not know when, but the Bible says in the beginning, not 6,000 years back, but in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we do not know what all creations existed. We know of just a few. But even before we were born, even before we existed, long before, God created everything for us. God did not create our parents. We did not create our parents, but God created our parents and provided everything for us even before we were born. Why is this important? Because when we live our life in this world, we see so many needs. You know, we have to pray for Sister Esther because she has a great need to go to a professional school and join there. And we are praying that God will open the door before her and manifest His power. But let us think, we didn't pray for so many things. Yeah, we are praying for that. And we know God will answer the prayer, but we didn't pray for oxygen. We didn't pray for the sun. We didn't pray for the moon and the stars. We didn't pray for the ground. We didn't pray for the trees. We didn't pray for the fruit. We didn't pray for good parents. We didn't pray for salvation. And talking about salvation, Jesus Christ came into this world 2,000 years back. About 2,000 years before we were born, Jesus came into this world. We didn't get born in sin and ask Jesus to save us. Jesus already saved us before we were born. The Bible says Jesus already started preparing a home for us in eternity, even before the world was created. And if the world was created a billion years back, Jesus started preparing a home for eternity for us a trillion years back, maybe. So when we look at all these things, we understand that God has provided everything for us before we even existed. For the past, for the present, and for the future. When we read Psalm 136, we learn about the children of Israel. God gave Abraham a promise. He said, approximately for 430 years, your generation will be in the land of Israel. And the king of that country will ill-treat them and will use them as slaves and harass them. But at the right time, I will bring them out as a great host, and they will come to the same land in which you have pitched a tent. And they will serve me in this land as the land of Israel. That promise came to Abraham maybe 4,000 years back. And today, when you look at the map of the world, you see a country called Israel. And that is the promise that God gave to Abraham approximately 4,000 years back. It is a republic, a separate nation, because of the promise God gave to Abraham. The children of Israel were in the land of Egypt, and they were sold as slaves, and there were hundreds of thousands of them. They had forgotten God's promise. Sometimes they remembered them, but mostly they were disappointed. They were depressed. They were sad. The Jews forgot the promise that God gave them, but God did not forget the promise that He gave them, and the promise and the covenant that we made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has a good memory. The Bible says that we need to go to God and pray and remind Him and tell Him about the things that we need. But Jesus said in the teaching of the prayer, "For your Father knoweth what you need even before you ask Him." It is not like we ask God and say, "Lord, we need college admission for Esther." And God said, "Oh yeah, I completely forgot. You know, let me go ahead and have someone start working on that." That may be true for worldly people, but not for God. God does not forget. God does not forget Brother Jose, Brother Anand, sisters, children. God does not forget you. God wants you to pray because He loves hearing your voice. God is not wanting us to pray because He has a bad memory and wants to be reminded now and then. God loves hearing your voice, and that's why He wants you to pray. And when you pray, the Bible says in the book of Song of Solomon, "O my Thou, my perfect one, let me hear thy voice, let me see thy face. For your face is comely and your voice is sweet." Jesus enjoys hearing the voice of His children so He can fellowship with them. For the Bible says, "I will walk in them and move in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Hallelujah. God wants to hear our voice, and that's why we pray. So when the time of the promise drew nigh, and it was approximately 430 years, the hosts of the Lord left the land of Egypt according to the promise of God. That is why in the book of Ephesians, the Bible says, "Unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." God has given us 99.999 to the infinity, the things that we never asked for. The things that He's asking us to pray for is so that we will enjoy fellowshipping with Him. But even before we ask, He already has provided that. Because the Bible says, "Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Even before you ask, He knows. The mom knows when the baby is hungry, when the baby needs food. Even these may forget. The mamas may forget. But Jesus says, "I'm greater than your mama. I'm greater than your dad. Lo, I will not forget you." You may not have contact with your dad, or your dad may not exist. You may not have contact with your mom, and your mom may not exist. But the Bible says, even though these may forget you, even though these may not exist, I love you more than a woman that loves her suckling child. Behold, I have graven you upon my hand. Your walls are continually before me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let us turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 14, and let us read verse 31. Hallelujah. Yeah, Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. Yes, sister. Matthew 14, chapter, verse 31, sister. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? God wants us to have high aims in our life. He wants us to have very high aims, not only spiritually, but also physically and emotionally. We used to have our church, New Jerusalem Church in San Antonio, in the south, in the most drug-ridden part, crime-ridden part, gang-ridden part, mafia-ridden part of San Antonio. And one day I saw a group of people and I asked the young people, what is your career objective? What is your objective in life? And they said their objective in life, as their little kids growing up, was to stay out of jail. I thought, well, if there are all their objective in life is not to go to jail, then that's not a very noble objective. Our objective should be higher. Jesus said, seek ye the things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And we need to have an objective that we need to be seated at the right hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter had a glorious objective. He wanted to be the first man next to Jesus to walk on the water. You know, Neil Armstrong had a glorious objective. Neil Armstrong wanted to be the first man to walk on the moon. Now many men have walked on the moon. But let me tell you one thing. Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, but he did not get to walk on the water. Hallelujah. Well, that's wonderful, Mr. Armstrong, that he walked on the moon. But how about what's happening on planet Earth? Peter was the first man next to Jesus, the Son of Man, to walk on the water. He didn't have a shuttle, he didn't have a float. He walked on the water with his feet. He even broke all the laws of nature and science and Archimedes' principle when he walked on the water. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, God Almighty, the Son of God, let me also walk on the water. Jesus had said, they that believe in me, the same works that I did shall they do also, and greater works than these shall they do, because they go unto the Father. And Peter walked on the water. Why did he walk on the water? Did he walk on the water because he wanted the Hollywood people to come and take a picture of him and call him the greatest stuntman of the world? Did he want to be on CNN or on the front page and show the people how he can walk on the water? No. The reason Peter walked on the water was not to have fun, but to go to Jesus. The Bible says Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. If you read the previous verses, it will say Peter wanted to go to Jesus walking on the water. But he couldn't make it to Jesus. And when he saw the wind and the waves, he forgot to keep his eyes on Jesus. The plug got unplugged. You know, sometimes when someone is using the vacuum cleaner in the house, it's cleaning nicely. And then someone trips and falls and out comes the plug from the socket and the vacuum cleaner is dead. The fan has stopped because someone tripped over the wire and it came unplugged. So Peter became unplugged and he went right down, sank right through. But Jesus did not forget him. The Bible says Jesus reached out his hand and lifted him up and made him walk on the water. See, Jesus will never fail. We've seen the sign, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. It doesn't mean that Jesus never fails in his life, because Jesus never failed. He's the Son of God. He didn't commit any sin. But what it means is Jesus will never fail in your life. Jesus made Peter walk on the water. Of all the disciples, Peter was the most afraid, fearful man who lived on this earth. When a rooster crowed, even before that, Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. He was afraid of men. He was afraid of everything. He was afraid of the water. But Jesus lifted up Peter and made him walk on the water. And Peter walked with Jesus holding his hand. And this time Peter said, Lord, I walked on the water alone. Now I don't want to walk on the water alone. Please keep holding my hand. And Jesus held the hand of Peter as he walked on the water, looking at Jesus' face. And they both walked on the water and came into the boat. Today we see the wonderful things that Jesus did in the Bible. Those were not written so that we may marvel at the power of God, but those were written so that you and I could also do that. We have been called to conquer. We have been called to win the victory. We have been called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God which calleth us to triumph. Whether it is finance or whether it is spiritual life. Whether it is our emotional life, our education, our career, our family, salvation, anything. You name it. The Bible says in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us.